You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And now here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of Jeremiah, chapters 1 and 2.
Well, here in chapter 2, God says to Judah, "Though you forgot me, I have not forgotten or forsaken you." And he says the same to us. He loves us, and he wants us to return. Notice verse 3. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Notice the key word, was. Israel was holiness. Israel was set apart to and for the Lord. But what happened? He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters?" I mean, like the initial cry of a spurned lover, God asks the question, "What have I done to you?" I mean, what have I lacked in our relationship that you've turned your back and your heart on me? Notice, this isn't the cry of a cold, aloof, impersonal God. No, these are a lover's tears. Here God is getting emotional. He cares deeply for his people. No wonder he wanted a sensitive man like Jeremiah to deliver this message. Verse 6 continues, "Neither did they say, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt?'" I mean, no one ever questioned who was in charge. No one ever asked, "Where is God?" The cloud by day, the fire by night, God was with them. The manna every morning, God's presence was all around them. Every single day, the people knew that God was by their side. God had not failed them. If only they had trusted him. If only they had really believed in him. You see, it was only after they settled into a prosperous land where their needs were met. When they were in the wilderness, their trust on him was apparent. They needed him. But once they settled into the land, they tended to forget about him. Notice God says, "I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination." The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And the priest didn't realize that they had strayed from the Lord. They had drifted far from him, and yet they didn't even know it. He says, "And those who handled the law did not know me." Now, this is an amazing truth. Realize this. You can handle God's law. In essence, you can be a Bible scholar. You can be a seminary professor and not even know God. Still be dead and lost in your sins. He says, "Those who handle the law, they did not know me." You see, a person can know a lot about God, but that's not the same as knowing God personally. Not by a long shot. He continues, "The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." Notice the play on words, false prophets who walk after stuff that doesn't profit. Verse 9, "Therefore I will bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus and see. Send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing." Now Cyprus was an island west of Israel. Kedar was on the eastern edge of Arabia. Thus, from Cyprus to Kedar was like saying from California to Maine or from coast to coast. God is saying, search, if you will, from west to east. He says, "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Not even pagan nations have changed their gods. And their gods are nothing but inanimate chunks of stone and wood. Why have the people of the one true God rejected him and his glory for worthless and impotent idols? He says, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. First, realize cistern is not the female version of brethren. You know that. Half of us are brethren and half of us are cistern. No, it's not, that's not the word. And for the record, he's not speaking of female believers with small bladders. Cisterns that can hold no water. That's not the point here either. No, go to Israel and visit the ancient tales, and you'll see thousands of cisterns. A cistern was a man-dug hole in the rock. It was designed to collect and store rainwater. You see, a fountain flowed from within, from an underground aquifer or spring, but a cistern collected water from the outside. Obviously, a fountain was more dependable. It was its own source, whereas a cistern needed it to rain. You can go to Masada and to Megiddo, and you can see some cistern systems that were elaborate feats of engineering. And yet here, Jeremiah accuses Israel of two sins. First, of forsaking their Lord, the fountain of living waters. And then second, for pursuing man-hewn cisterns, which were cracked and leaky sources of pleasure. And isn't this what people have done today? Jesus promised the woman at the well living water, spiritual satisfaction. He pledges to us to quench our deepest thirsts. And yet we forsake Jesus, the fountain of living water, for man-made cisterns and sources of pleasure, sex and booze and drugs and video games and sports and whatever it might be. The world provides a high, but it's a cracked cistern. The buzz subsides, the source dries up. The things of this world are cracked, leaky cisterns that ultimately fail to satisfy. It's when we drink from the fountain of living waters. It's when we bring our needs to God. That's when we find satisfaction and we'll never thirst again. Notice verse 14. He says, is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? Now, there were Jews in the days of Jeremiah that were looking to Egypt for help. They saw the rise of Babylon to the east, and they thought the answer was to ally themselves to Egypt. But here Jeremiah asks you, he asks them, are you homeborn slaves? You see, a slave born into slavery had nowhere else to go. His master's house was his home. He's asking, does Israel have no one to follow? Are you going back to when you were born in Egypt? You were born in slavery? Have you never known freedom? And of course, the answer was no. They had known freedom. God had led them out of Egypt. Why are they wanting to go back into slavery? He says, yet the young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also, the people of Noph and Taphanes have broken the crown of your head. Noph was another name for the Egyptian city of Memphis. And so men of Noph and Taphanes, these were Egyptians. He says, they'll come, they'll break your skull, they'll steal your glory if you put your trust in them. Allying yourself to Egypt is not the answer. Verse 17, he says, have you not brought this on yourself in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or why take the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the river, the Euphrates? Why are you looking to the south? Why are you looking to the east? Why are you looking to Egypt? Why are you looking to Assyria? Why not look up? Why not look to the Lord? Don't you know you brought this on yourself by forsaking the Lord? At the time, two strong armies ruled the world. Egypt to the south of Jerusalem, Babylon in the land of Assyria on the Euphrates River east of Jerusalem. And the Jewish people, they were squabbling. They were divided over which nation to get behind and pledge their support. You could say at the time, Jerusalem was a two-party system. You were either pro-Babylonian or you were pro-Egyptian. But God had a different plan for his people, a different way out of this quandrum. He wanted them to trust not in Egypt, not in Babylon, but to put their trust and allegiance in him and in him alone. In fact, here's the theme that emerges in the book of political alliances are worthless. Only a loyalty to God can guarantee a nation's security. America, are you listening? I hope and pray America has ears to hear. We once had a rich spiritual, even Christian heritage, but now it's gone. We've become the secular society. We've forgotten God. We've taken credit for his blessings. In our world today, if you stand for God, chances are you'll have to do it alone. Following Jesus leads a person down paths of loneliness and through times of discouragement. And this is why Jeremiah will be such a help to us. For he has been where we're headed. And we can draw tremendous help and support from Jeremiah. Verse 19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Here's a scary thought. Your backsliding will rebuke you. It's been said, you don't feel life's splinters until you backslide. Shimmying up a pole is pretty painless. But start sliding downward, and that's when you feel the splinters. Life gets hard, backsliding. And the same is true when we slide away from God. He says, for of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress. When God delivered his people from Egypt, he broke the Pharaoh's yoke. Israel promised to follow God. But look at her now. He says, on every high hill and under every green tree, you lay down playing the harlot. You see, when Israel entered into Canaan, they discovered that the Canaanites had multiple gods. They bowed down to their idols on high hills, hoping to get closer to them. They worshiped around groves of trees. Sometimes the trees were shaved into phallic symbols, honoring the various fertility gods and cults. Lustful acts played a part in their worship. And he's saying, sadly, 800 years later, now in the time of Jeremiah, not much has changed. The high hills, the green trees, are still in operation. Despite all that God had done to deliver the Jews, idols were still worshiped in Judah. Verse 21, yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? I mean, God had planted Israel with high hopes. She was a noble vine of the purest pedigree, the highest, purest DNA. She had been kept pure by God. But now she's nothing but a weed, spiritual poa. I was astonished to see at the hallowed grounds of Augusta National splotches of poa growing in the turf. I couldn't believe it. I told Mac, I said, look at the poa there. He said, oh, Dad, you cut it low enough, nobody ever see it. I saw it. Right there in the carpeted ryegrass were patches of weeds. And this is how God saw his people. He wanted them to be a hallowed turf. And yet they had turned into weeds. For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. You see, King Josiah had instituted reforms. He had instituted superficial, cosmetic reforms. Sort of an outward cleansing had taken place. But you see, religious reform isn't the same as spiritual revival. We need a transformed heart, not just altered conduct. We need a heart that burns in love for God. He says, how can you say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after the Baals? See your way in the valley, know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary, breaking loose in her ways, a wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind in her desire, in her time of mating. Who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they will find her. This is not a very flattering description here. He's saying to the Jewish people, you're nothing but a camel in heat. You're nothing but a female donkey in heat. Your only interest is who you can go to bed with. You have no moral concerns, no spiritual concerns. Your only interest is what will satisfy you. Sadly, God's people were quick to jump into bed with anyone who told them what they wanted to hear. They weren't thinking of their loyalty to God, the vows they had taken. All they were interested in was taking care of their immediate need for security and for pleasure. And the question becomes, what about us? Do we latch on to whatever provides the quickest and the easiest answer to our problem? Or do we hold out for God to work in our lives? Do we trust only in His intervention and in His supply? Don't just jump into bed with the first solution to your problem without thinking through, without considering your loyalty and allegiances to God. More important to you than just your own security and just the solution to your own problems is your faithfulness to God. That's what will matter in the end. Verse 25, withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. No, I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets. As the thief is ashamed. It's not that he's sorry for his sin. It's not that he's concerned that he's defrauded another person, that he took what didn't belong to him. No, he's embarrassed because he got caught. And this was Israel. They weren't sorry that they had broken God's law. Certainly, they certainly hadn't considered they'd broken his heart. They were just sorry that they were facing his judgments. In other words, they were remorseful, but not repentant. Israel should have been more ashamed than they were. Imagine, he says, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. You see, they were, in worshiping idols, they were ascribing life to inanimate objects like trees and stones. You know, they set up a little stone idol and they say, you are my father. You know, a tree, they say, you gave birth to me. Are you kidding? This is the folly, the foolishness of idolatry. And yet, don't modern people do the same? We go to the zoo, we say to the monkeys, you are my father. Humans are the most complex, organized beings on earth. And yet we claim randomness and chance gave us birth. We do the same thing. God concludes, for they have turned their back to me and not their face. Have you turned your back to the Lord? Have you turned your face to the Lord? But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Israel will return to God, but by then it'll be too late. They'll turn back to God only when they are in trouble and they need His help. How hypocritical is that? But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Judah had scores of small towns. Likewise, her idols were numerous. And he's saying, when you're in trouble, let your gods help. You've been serving these false gods. Let them help you in the day of your trouble. Why will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Doesn't it break a parent's heart when you've corrected your child over and over and they still haven't taken heed to what you've tried to communicate? Isn't that the greatest pain to a parent? And that's God's heart toward his people. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are lords, we will come no more to you? Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. What bride would possibly forget her wedding dress? I mean, she's been preoccupied with it for months. She'd been starving herself just to fit into it. Likewise, how could God's people ever forget their God? Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore, you have also taught the wicked women your ways. See, Israel was like the woman getting all dolled up. She's looking for a sugar daddy, not a guy she can love and marry, but somebody who can meet her needs, who can satisfy her fickle tastes. This was Israel. This was their desire. He says, also on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. Now think of this woman. All she's after is making some connections that are going to satisfy her, finding some men that are going to pay her bills for her, so forth. And so while seducing man after man after man, while looking to meet her own needs, guess what? Babies get in the way. Pregnancies get aborted. And now we're told there's blood on her skirts. And God certainly sees the innocent blood on the skirts of America. Sadly, the number is now 15 million aborted babies since 1973 and counting. Did you know that roughly 24% of all United States pregnancies today end in abortion? It breaks God's heart. Should break ours. Verse 34, I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. In other words, I didn't need a search warrant to discover these sins. Your rebellion was evident. It was blatant. But you say, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. How gullible. They were caught red-handed. There was blood on their skirts, and yet they denied their guilt. And they expected God to believe them. He says, why do you gad about so much to change your way? Gadding about. That is another way of saying vacillating, going back and forth. They had been gadding about. They were guilty of indecision. In other words, they had refused to take a stand. They'd been playing both sides. Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. Indeed, you will go forth from him with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected your trusted allies, and you will not prosper by them. See, they had gone back and forth, to and fro, their loyalty to Egypt, their loyalty to Assyria. Who will they be loyal to? And yet neither ally will save them and cause them to prosper. And they'll be led away with their hands on their head as captives taken into bondage. And there are believers who today gad about. They gad about in their commitment to God. Well, one day they're all in. The next day they're not so sure. Hey, if that's you, stop gadding about. God will bring to nothing anything that you trust in apart from Him.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies. constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.